Shavuatov world. It is Daf Masechet Kitin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh, is Daf Pei Aleph, and we're holding at the Halak and Mishnah. So, okay, we've been discussing Gitim that have some kind of flaw, and what the din is if a person utilizes this get, and which Gitim can contain a flaw, despite the fact that in the end, if you use them, it wouldn't be a problem. And now we have a particular kind of get that is only a flaw, binogea the kahuna. So you'll recall the concept of reyach get that we've had before. There's a machlokas rishonim here whether this mishnah really has something to do with reyach get particularly, as we'll see. Katav lagareshet ishto. Somebody writes a get, but he never delivers the get. Minimlach, and he changes his mind before he ever gives it to her. Nonetheless, Beit Shammai claims that she's psula mina kahuna. Unbelievably, if she's married to a Kohen, so then she has to get divorced. None of that, she can't marry another Kohen if her husband dies. She'll never be able to marry a Kohen because it's the equivalent of the scent of a get, according to the Meiri. Remember that a scent of a get is cases where a get is possible, usually standard psulin a get. But vis-a-vis for a Kohen, it's not boto. It's only puzzle, and therefore it also passes her from a Kohen. The Meiri is the only one that I'm aware of among the Rishonim who sees Beit Shammai Shita as being an extension of the idea of Reach HaGet, and that according to him, even if a Kohen wrote a get, it's bad enough vis-a-vis the Kohen. Okay, this is an unusual idea because the fact that the Kohen wrote it shouldn't make it more of a Reach HaGet. And the question over here is that, of course, in the event that it's not a Kohen that's writing the get, then if her husband dies, and it's a regular Yisrael, then he would pass her from the kuna if he dies, if even though she's an almana and not a gerusha. So according to the Meiri, this is a standard extension of the idea of reyach get. Others learn, so we'll see from Rashi later on, that this is a special halacha in terms of yuchasi, that since we're more makbid on the din of yichus by a kohen, so we consider this to be the equivalent of a get that was actually delivered, even though it wasn't. Others learn that it's a gzeira. If you write a get and didn't deliver it, we're chayshesh, that even in a case where you wrote it and delivered it, which is a little bit difficult to hear, but anyway, some do write that. And others, and some sefer particularly has a shita that relates to the shita of the Tosfos that we said before. Remember that according to Beit Shammai, the only reason that you're allowed to be megaresh a woman is if matzaba ervat davar. So therefore, he sees this as an extension of the shita of Beit Shammai, so that when it comes to the kahuna, then we are going to be makbid because of the fact that she would get a din of a zayna more easily, so we'd be more makbid because of the fact that he must have heard something bad about her before he gave her that get. Okay, so we've got all of these different shitas. Trevor, I don't think you realize what we have in store for us over at Doc's house for Malava Malkar. You'd be much happier than you are right now. Okay. All right, good. So why don't you know? I mean, when you were in Cape Town, you know, you didn't have this opportunity. But now, over here on Zoom, no matter where you are, everybody is welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, just maybe mute over here. So that just in case, you know, someone can hear, I'll mute for you. Okay. So what about in a case where you gave a get, you gave it al tanai. So Beit Hillel omrim, afa pishanat no la al tanai, velo nasa al tanai lo pesalam en akuna. I'll tell you, not only where you just wrote the get and didn't deliver it, even if you delivered the get, but you gave the get on condition, and that condition wasn't fulfilled, which you'd think, oh my God, like, I mean, who's supposed to know whether the condition was fulfilled or not? It looks like he gave it. Even that's not a problem. So we have a machlokas over here, really, from one extreme to the other. But Shammai is saying that even writing a get and not delivering it is enough to pass her from the kahuna. And Beit Hillel saying that even if you wrote the get and delivered it, it's just that it was with a condition that wasn't fulfilled, even that is not possible from the kumana. Baruch ato Adonai Elohim Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyeh Bedvaro. Sholach l'Rav Yosef Paredo Rebbe Nasha Bedvil Shmuel. Ilam Deinu Rabbeinu. So you've sent a shayla to Shmuel. Please teach us what the halacha is. Suppose rumors go out about a guy saying that this guy, who is a Kohen, he wrote a get to his wife, and she's still living with him. And she's still, apparently, I don't know, I mean, a Kohen is not allowed to divorcee, even if it's his own divorcee. So if we heard that he wrote a get, and she's still with him, do we have to separate them from each other? Mahu, because after all, people will think that here's a Kohen that was allowed to take back his get, his Megureshet wife. Sholach Bei, so Shmuel said back to Rav Yosef, look, it is possible that they'd say, but Hadavar Tzarich B'dikah. It's not as crazy as you think that it should be a Tetzei, but we need to look into it further. So just as we had before, when we had this question of needing to look into things further, what exactly is the issue that needs to be looked into further? Elema, maybe the question is it possible for Beis Din to investigate a situation and then to establish what the reality is? The fact that people are spreading rumors that the guy wrote a get. So maybe that's the question. Can a Beis Din come along and say, we've investigated the matter, and this is ridiculous. The guy never wrote a get. So that would be the question of whether mevatlinan kala or lo mevatlinan kala. Does a Beis Din go out to determine whether rumors are true? And the problem is that that can't be Shmuel's issue. I'll tell you why. Because in general, there was a rule in the Haradah, and the Haradah is the place where Shmuel was the Rav. He was the Rosh Hashiva in the Haradah. And in the Haradah, they would never be mevatel kol. Now, the other yeshivas, they were mevatel kol. But the reason that in the Haradah, they didn't mevatel kol, because a lot of cynical people over there, and they were chayshish that people will accuse the Beis Din of trying to cover up for people. So because of that, they wouldn't be mevatel kol. So that can't be his question, because he was in the Haradah. So maybe the issue that he needed to determine was whether the fact that people are spreading the word that a certain Kohen wrote a get, does that matter? I mean, we'll paskin like pijama, right? We paskin like petilo. So if he wrote a get and never gave the get, there really wouldn't be a problem. So maybe that's what he needed to find out. Is the general way that people refer to giving a get, would they call that wrote a get? So if wrote a get means to give a get, okay, then I understand that it's a call that would demand us separating between a Kohen and a divorcee. But, I mean, if they're just saying that he wrote the get but never delivered the get, so then there shouldn't be a problem. And then we wouldn't have to be motzi her from her husband. He says, what is that supposed to mean? What do you mean if people call giving a get writing a get? Even if they do, I mean, they certainly still call writing a get, don't they? I mean, even they call giving a get, writing a get. But writing a get could certainly mean only writing a get. So if he called a netina k'tiva l'k'tiva gufa milokar l'k'tiva, wouldn't they call writing a get? So why should we jump to the conclusion that he actually divorced her? Says Gemara, yes. Because, look, if it turns out that they also will call giving a get, just writing the get, then we need to worry about the issue, because maybe he actually did give the get, and therefore people would actually think that he divorced her. Because since the word is used that way, therefore tetzei. Wait a minute here. You're telling me that on the basis of a rumor, we're going to make a guy divorce his wife? There's a general rule that Rav Ashi pointed out, that any rumors that start circulating about a woman being asura to her husband, where the rumor starts after a marriage, we don't pay any attention to. Well, and that's the case over here. Homer of Ashi, kol kala debosa nisuin, lo chashina lei. This is an important Gavi point. Kol kala debosa nisuin, lo chashina lei. So we don't pay attention to rumors that would create an iser when the iser would prevent the woman from getting married, but now she's already married. So why would Shmuel say that, well, if it turns out that maybe it means he gave the get, that then we would make her get divorced? It doesn't make sense. Says Gemara, you're right. When it says Tetze, of course he didn't mean that she has to leave her husband. What he meant was Tetze Misheni, that if the first husband died, and then she married a second one who was a Kohen, then she has to leave the second one. Why? Because the rumors began before she was married. Says the Gemara, but how can you do that? Him Kane, if you make a woman leave the second husband because he's a Kohen, then, and in the case over here, remember the first husband was a Kohen also, so then people are going to say, she had to leave her husband. Clearly, she was fooling around before, right? And that's why we made her leave. In which case, the children of the first Kohen, people would say that they're psulim for the Kohen because they were b'nei gerusha. Or again, that was the Beit Shammai idea, but just that he gave her a get. I shouldn't say fooling around, but that he gave her a get. We don't necessarily have to say the svara of Beit Shammai, obviously, like Tosfos. But anyway, you'll be motze the problem. If you're motze, you're going to create the problem for the children of the first Kohen. Well, says the Gemara, look, I mean, the truth is the rumor started before. Everybody knows that she did not have to get divorced from her first husband. And it was only after her husband died that she went ahead and married the second guy. So given the Misheni or the Mavkinala, since people see that the Besdin only acted when she got married to the second guy, but Mirishon lo Mavkinala, so then they're going to obviously understand that whatever this get rumor was about, it must have been right before he died that these rumors began. So they're not going to put it together with the birth of children from before and say maybe she was Mugureshet from before. You know, think about the Chumrah of Beit Shammai over here. You know, Bora'e, it used to be people were really makbid on even the chance of something's appearing inappropriate. They were very machmir. Look how different things are today. Bora'e shalok dorot harishonim, dorot ha'achronim. Let's take an example of dorot harishonim, or I mean Beit Shammai. And look how careful they were to make sure that even a hint of anything that would be similar to an Isurei Kahuna, they asked her to marry a Kohen because maybe a get had been written and that's bad enough. Whereas if you want to take a look at the Dorot HaAchronim, they're matir, everything, so mekilim, anything they can find a heter for, they're matir. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about Rabbi Daisa. What was Rabbi Daisa? Tanya. A woman who was captured by Goyim, Shvuya, according to Rabbi Daisa, is still allowed to eat truma. Why is that? Even though the people who captured her were Goyim and they ransomed her, we don't assume that she was raped. Now, if she had been raped, then she would be asura for the kuna because she's a zayna. So, I mean, like, well, says Rabbi Daisa, why should we think that she was raped? You know, ma sali arabiz. I mean, besakako, what's this Arab do? Why do we talk about an Arab specifically? This is Rashi says, because the Arabs are the most filthy, lustful people in the world. Because as the Gemara says elsewhere, there were 10 kavim of znus that came to the world, and the Arabs took 9 out of the 10. So even if it's an Arab, the fact is he wants to ransom her, right? So what did he do? So he feels her up a little bit. I mean, what's a big deal? That's not going to asser over the kahuna. So he feels her up. This is enough to pasul from the kahuna. I don't understand why he makes such a big deal. So look at the difference. Beit Shammai says, if he just wrote a get, that's enough. And Reb Dosa says, yeah, you know, big deal, a little bit of fooling around here and there, but why should we suspect that he actually raped? So that's a tremendous kula if you compare it to Beit Shammai. And there was another, actually the same idea was expressed by Omer Rabba Barbachan, Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum, Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Loi, Lore Eishalo, Kedorot HaRishonim, Dorot HaAchronim. The Dorot HaRishonim, they would bedavka make sure that when they brought in the produce from their fields, they would bring it in through the main door of the house. So there shouldn't be a suffix that maybe it was putter from Meiser, you know. So, and you take a look at the, I mean, listen, you look at this goyim. I mean, they have the Meiser coming in down the chimney, you know, in order for it not to be chayev in Meiser. These people used to be dafka walking through the front door in order to make sure, because that's the pasuk's mashmaut, the petach habayit. Whereas the Dorot HaAchronim, they wanted to avoid being chayev in Meiser. So what did they do? They came down the chimney. That's how all those stories about this red guy, that's how it all started. Or they went derech harfifot, yeah, where they go to the backyard or whatever. Now, this doesn't really potter them from Meiser, but it does potter them from Meiser derech kva. It's matter than Meiser derech harai. But if they wanted to use it for their behemah, the achila of a behemah is always called derech harai, and therefore they would potter themselves from needing to take Meiser for their animals. So they went derech agag or derech akrefev. They had this yard in the back. G'day lefotron min amaser. That's the difference between people. The Om Rabbi Yana yina tevo mitchayev b'maaser ad shir e p'nei habayit. Shinema b'yayit ha-kodesh min habayit. Meiser is only chayev when it sees the opening, the gateway to the house. Rabbi Yochanan amar. Rabbi Yochanan says, well, I ain't going to do them any good, because even if they come into a chotzer, the chotzer is koveya b'maiser. It's not the house. Shinamra v'achlu b'sha'arecha v'saveyu. Which brings us to a special word from our esteemed doc, who's been practicing for this wonderful moment all Shabbos long.
Zok the Heilige Mishnah.
Hamegaresh et ishto. Lana imo befundiki. So as we've talked about this issue earlier, where we talked about the big machlokas, about what precisely lana imo befundiki means, and we'll get to the machlokas once again here in the sugya. So somebody divorces his wife, and then sometimes later, they take a little vacation together, and she's alone in this hotel. Bechame omrim, big deal. So they're alone in a hotel. Why should she need another get from him? Why should we assume that they remarry? Whereas Beit Hillel says, no, you do need a second get. So we're going to take a look at what exactly the machlokas is over here in a minute. But when do Beit Hillel say that they need a second get if they were alone in a hotel? The obvious assumption is that they've been sleeping together, A, and B, that the husband is interested in not just messing around with his ex. He obviously prefers that he would be really married to her rather than to just be fooling around. So when do we think about that? That's only when they were already man and wife and were used to sexual relations before the divorce. So that was Bismanchinit Karshamin and Suin. So then we assume that, I mean, it's the most natural thing in the world for them to go sleep with each other. However, Beit Hillel is moda that if they never had actually made it to the chuppah and they were just, she was mekudeshes to him, then we're not going to jump to the conclusion that they were sleeping with each other because they're not really that comfortable. She'ena tzricha mena get sheni. In that case, we don't assume that he had been mekadesh her bebia. Because he doesn't feel intimate with her, and therefore he's not necessarily going to hop into bed with her. Actually, you guys misunderstand the machlokas over here. For the moment, we're going to ask about the nature of the Mishnah's mashmaut. Look, the only real machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is where we actually saw them sleeping together, not that they just went to hotel. So over there, Beit Shammai says, okay, so big deal. So they were sleeping with each other. I understand. What are you, a voyeur? What in the world is your business? They were sleeping with each other. There's no reason to assume that they were married. Why would a guy necessarily want to marry a woman just because he's sleeping with her? So unless he says that I am actually sleeping with you in order for this to be Hareat Nekudeshet Libibiyazu, so then why would she need a get? Whereas Beit Hillel Savar, no. If a guy can make his living with a woman, an act of marriage, as opposed to just znut, he would prefer that. And because of that, we assume that he actually wanted to give her kedushin again. But if they never saw that she actually slept with him, even Beit Hillel would never say, just because they were alone in a hotel, therefore we say that he dafka slept with her and that he meant that it should be kedushin. Why should we jump to conclusions? So divrei hakol, eina tzricha hemena get sheni. Now, this makes no sense, obviously, in terms of the Mishnah. That's quite clear. Tonight it says in the Mishnah that Beit Hillel is made that if she was begureshet before they're comfortable with each other, so she was only mina erusin, that then she doesn't need a second get. Why? Because they're not intimate with each other. What do you mean they're not intimate with each other? We're talking about a case where the witnesses see them sleeping with each other. What is that supposed to mean? They're not intimate with each other. It's ridiculous. So obviously, if you're trying to explain the Mishnah as referring to a case where the witnesses saw them sleeping together, who the heck cares about your assumptions to the level of their emotional intimacy? If we're talking about Bishra Uashaniv Allah, so if we actually know that they slept together, Ma Li Mina Erasim Ma Li Mina Nesuin, I understand. It has nothing to do with whether it's from the Erasim and Nesuin. We know for a fact that they were sleeping together, and Beis Hillel claims that people would rather have a legitimate relationship than have a cheap relationship. So that still is true. If we know that the situation was the same, of course, obviously, I didn't mean to explain the Mishnah that way. The Mishnah, of course, is talking about, we just saw them being alone in the hotel. I'm telling you, Rabbi Yochanan says, I'm telling you that I don't go along with the Mishnah because another brisa that says that it's not correct, the version in the Mishnah. Take a look at the brisa. And I'm going like that brisa. Rabbi Yochanan Damri Kai Tana, the Tanya Amri Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Lo nechleku Beit Shammai Beit Hillel asher lo ra'u asher nivala. Forget about the Mishnah. The Mishnah is wrong. Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel never argued about a case where they were just alone in a hotel. That is not sufficient reason for us to assume that they were sleeping together. Of course, in that case, nobody would have said that you need a get. In such a case, for sure, ina tzricha emen a get. Alman nechleku, the only place where they were arguing was the way Rabbi Yochanan explained it, where we know that they were sleeping together, and Shira'u Hashinivala, and there the machlokas is, Shebet Shammai Omrim Adam Oseh Be'ilato Be'ilat Znut, U'Beit Hillel Omrim Ein Adam Oseh Be'ilat Be'ilat Znut. Okay. Now, I understand the machlokas in the Braita between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, but what is the machlokas in the Mishnah? If you're telling me that we don't even know that they sleep together, so what are they arguing about in the Mishnah? So Masnis and Yukim Belora Uashanivala. Explain the machlokas there, but my pleading. So over there we're obviously talking about where we have a deyichud. So we know that they were together in the hotel, but we do not have any reason to jump to the conclusion that necessarily they've been sleeping together. So Beit Shammai Savri Lo Amrin and Hinei Nei Deyichud VeHinei Nei Deviyah. Beit Shammai holds that we don't jump to conclusions that just because they were alone, so therefore necessarily they were sleeping together. Now some of the Mefarshim explain this to also be dependent in the Shita that Beit Shammai had before, the same way that Tosfos says that Beit Shammai is constantly being consistent with his Shita, that you don't give a get, you're not allowed to give a get, unless you have very strong reasons of believing that your wife was actually fooling around with other people. So therefore, there's much less of a reason, according to Beit Shammai, to believe that a person who gave a get to his wife is going to sleep with her again, even though he already divorced her for feeling that she's committing adultery. Well, he doesn't really feel very positively towards her. So therefore, why should we assume that they happen to bed together? So therefore, the Beit Shammai says, why should we think that? So lo amrinan hein eide yichud, behin hein eide viyah. Whereas Beis Hillel, and again, this would be consistent with Beis Hillel Shita, that you give a get because the coffee wasn't made properly, right? So because of that, why wouldn't he sleep together? So b'tilas servi amrinan hein eidei v'yichud hein eidei v'ya. Fine. Okay. So therefore, we understand the machlokas in the braita. Question is whether Adam oseh b'ilato b'ilat znut. We have a machlokas in the Mishnah about whether hein hein eidei yichud hein hein eidei v'ya. And what about the last piece in the Mishnah? Well, the Mishnah says, "Modi Mishnah is garsha mina erusin she'ina tzricha hemena get sheni." The reason that that's true, according to this approach, is because kivan de ein libo gaspa. We said since they don't feel intimate with each other, it's less likely that they're just going to happen to bed together. And lo amrina neinedevia neinedeyichud. So over there, even Basil is made a, that where they don't feel comfortable with each other, we have no reason to assume that hein hein eidei v'ya. Here's the Gemara. You're telling me that Rabbi Yochanan said that the machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is only in cases where we actually have eidim that saw them sleeping together? Well, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. I thought Rabbi Yochanan has a general klal. Halacha kistam Mishnah, okay? The Mishnah, as we've already proven, the Mishnah is talking about where we did not have witnesses that they sleep together. We only have witnesses that they were in the same hotel. So how could Rabbi Yochanan over here say, I don't like the Mishnah, and I'm going to explain things according to the approach of the Braita? It doesn't make sense, says the Gemara, as we've seen many times. There is a fundamental machlokas among the Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan about whether Rabbi Yochanan actually always paskins like a Stam Mishnah. So those who hold that he does, inochinami, he wouldn't have said that the Rabbi Yochanan, as Rabbi Barbachana said, would be saying that the machlokas is not like the Mishnah, it's like the Braisa. Obviously, he does not agree that Rabbi Yochanan says always halacha kistam Mishnah. And now, we're back to our dear Dr. Chaim, who now is working overtime. Sorry to trouble you so much, Doc, but we hope you're ready to come on again.
Zuk the Helika Mishnah.
Getting better every time. Maybe we should try five Mishnahs a night. So now, before we start this, we have to get a little bit of an introduction. And this is an insight into a completely different type of shtar than the normal shtar that we're used to. And this is called a get mikushar. Now, a get mikushar could be any type of contract. However, it was a takana that the Rabbanan made because of, you'll notice that our Kohen talks about hot drinks. If you take a look on Zoom, forget about hot drinks, man. Kohenim are hot-headed. That's the main problem. It's not a coincidence that our Kohen is talking about hot drinks. So hot-headed Kohenim have a tendency to get really angry really quickly, and they blow up against their wives, and they write them a get because they're so mad. And then when they cool down 10 minutes later, it's too late, because as a Kohen, you can never take a woman who's a Megureshet. So the Chachamim came up with a way to cool. It's called a cool down get. So it's called the get mikushar. So how do you write this get mikushar? Man, it's so damn complicated. By the time he writes this get, he forgot why he wants to divorce her, and he just goes out for a drink. So that's the idea. Okay, so how does this wild get mikushar work? You're not going to believe this. So what you do is you write, Sofer sits there, he writes a line of the get, two lines of the get, whatever, a number of lines. The worst is where you write one line at a time. Now, you then leave a blank line. Okay, you fold the blank line over the written line. Then you call in a seamstress, and she sews the get together so that now you have a fan, right? So by the time you finish the whole get, you get this fan-like affair. Now, on every one of the fan, you have to have another witness. Oh, gosh. Okay. So as you can imagine, the Kohen forgot all about why he wants to divorce his wife by the time you're finished making this fan. And so this get mikushar is a nice way for Kohanim to cool down. We ought to spread this around to the therapists, you know. But in any event, it creates a bit of a problem. Why? Because if any of the fan pieces don't have a witness on them, then it's called a bald get. Why bald? Because one of its hairs, so to speak, is missing a signature. So it's a get kireah. It is a blank get. And therefore, what would be the din if you divorced a wife with a get that was a get kireah? So now this is obviously a problem, but the question is it the same as, like we said about a get yashan, that, you know, well, you know, if you used it, you could still get married based on it, or if she got married, she wouldn't get divorced. What is the din of a get mekushar? Is it's a get mekushar, which is kireah? Is it actually machayev you to get divorced from a second husband who relied on the first husband's providing a get mekushar or not? Okay. So, and remember that this means even if you've got two perfectly valid witnesses that are written on two of the parts of the get, but if any piece is missing, then it's possible. So, I mean, this is like a very strange kind of thing, because it ought to be a kosher contract based on the fact that we've got two witnesses. And nonetheless, it is not kosher because this is the takana. So, as we saw before, we had other takanas, which are even bidyavad, which possible. So what's a magic case like this? Second guy gets married to a woman who was divorced with a get kireach, and he marries her on that basis. Kinasa beget kireach. So then she is considered to be an adulteress. The same way that if she got married to another guy thinking her husband was dead, or it turns out that there was some fundamental pagam in the get, or like the crazy case that we had at the end where the sofer gave the wrong envelope to the wrong person. It's the same as that. And therefore, Tetzi Mizeh Mizeh, and we're going back to the lashon of the opening Mishnah, the Chol HaDrachim HaElubo, all of the catastrophic issues that come around are also, remember, which consists of not getting Iksuva, not getting Peres, and not getting Belois, not getting Parnosa, not having Yerushas B'nei Dichron, etc., etc. All of those issues are applicable even to this woman. So, kol adrachim ha'eluba. Now, what can you do with a get kireah? So, who has to sign on the get kireah? Okay, so here we had a sofer, and he made too many folds. Now, remember, the get kireah doesn't have to be every six. Ari, you're making more trouble than help. You are supposed to be listening, not preventing other people from listening. Get in there in the picture. So now, in this event, come on, come on, come on, either take the camera further away or get closer together. There we go. All right, now we're all right. Fine. So now the sofer, instead of writing two lines or three lines and then making his little fold, he wrote one line at a time, and now he's got way more folds than he's got eight in. Oy vavoy. So what do I do now? So the din is, you can get anybody that you want to sign on the back of a fold, even if he's puzzled for Adas. You can even use a Ganav, or you can use an Eved Knani, even though these people are not kosher normally from being an aid. But in this case, we don't really need an Adas. We just need that there should be somebody signed on every piece. So says Ben Nanas. Rabbi Akiva says, no, it's true that you don't need a kosher witness for this divorce. But the only type of witness that you can use who would not be kosher for this divorce is a relative. So if this person is kosher in general for testimony, so then the fact that he's a relative doesn't bother us, because we have two kosher for this divorce witnesses anyway. But you can't use somebody who is totally possible under all circumstances. And we're going to see what the difference could possibly be, because certainly it's not kosher witness if it's a korov, exactly the same way that it's not a kosher witness if it's an Eved Knani. So, I mean, like, what's the difference? And what do we mean when we say a get kireach? A get kireach is wherever you have one extra kesher. I don't care. There's no specific number, but you do need a minimum of three, as we're going to see. So therefore, wherever you have one more fold, then you have Adim, then you've got a problem. All right, so now we have to explain why this is true. So my time at a get kereach, why is it that we say that a get kereach we're allowed to use anyway, witnesses that aren't kosher for the get, to the korov? So what is the whole idea over here that we said that the kereach is possible? The reason is because of the gzera mishum kulchem. So remember, if somebody would say to 10 people, all of you, I want to sign on this get. So then the halacha is that if even one of the 10 people didn't sign, talking about a regular get, one of the people didn't sign, the entire get is possible. And that's why you're not allowed to sign the get unless everybody's present. So when a person writes get mikushar, the norm is that you invite the number of witnesses that are going to be needed for the kesher. And we're afraid that in that case, people will think that if one get does not sign in a case where he was invited initially to sign, and he might have well have been told when the husband gathered together all of these people, he said, listen, I'm writing a get. I want you all to sign on the get, meaning each one on one of the folds. So then people will think that even where you say kulchem and one person doesn't sign, it's kosher. And it's not. It's totally possible. Because over there, he's only giving the get on the basis of all 10 people signing. So since over here, this would be possible in that case, so we make a takana that it shouldn't happen. Because we don't want people to think that kulchem would be kosher without all. But then, why do you say that you could use anybody, even a korov, or even maybe someone who's posel? How could that be? Get kereach hakol mashlimim alav, at least according to Ben Nanas. Rabbi Akiva says a korov. Let's first understand what the possibility is to say a korov, yes, but an evid not. Can you explain Rabbi Akiva's logic here? So Rabbi Akiva evid by time alone. I mean, I'm assuming you can't use an evid, because people might think that, apparently an Eved is a kosher witness. So then why wouldn't they think the same thing about a Korov? Well, you know, everybody knows it was her brother that signed on the get. So apparently it's not a problem to have her brother sign on the get. Why is it any different? And nonetheless, Rabbi Akiva is saying a Korov can't sign on the extra one of the Ksharim. So then he's not afraid that we're going to take a leap and say, well, since he signed on a get, Mekushar could sign at any time. So that can't be the reason. Okay, so what is the reason? Well, it's a whole different issue. If you're talking about an Eved signing, and he's been treated like a regular get, a regular aid. And if an Eved is treated like a regular aid, people may mistake the fact that they assumed that he was actually miyuchas. And they will assume that he's allowed to marry a Israeli, because well, obviously he's not an Eved. Why would he be signing as a witness? Who would have had an Eved sign as a witness? Okay, so then what about a Goslin? Why would Rabbi Akiva say a Goslin can't sign? I mean, a Goslin's allowed to marry a person. I mean, so let him, what is the only occurrence? Goslin, the Bar Yochasuni, Liskasha, he should be okay. So then why does it say, Rabbi Akiva Omer, you have to be a kosher aid in all circumstances, which means a korov, but not a goslin, who is not a kosher aid under other circumstances. So the reason for the eved, therefore, is not because of yuchasin, we disprove. And the reason of the eved is not because we're afraid that an Eved will be assumed to be kosher. So then what is the reason that it's osur? Eved hainu taima. That if people see the Eved signed, they will assume that he must have been given a get shechur. And even if they know he's an Eved, they will assume, so obviously he's no longer an Eved. And therefore the same thing would be true of a gazlan. Even they know that this guy is a member of the mafia, they must have assumed that They might assume that he must have done teshuvah. Otherwise, why would it be allowed to sign as a witness? So because of that, they'll use him as a witness under other circumstances where he's one of the two that need to be both kosher witnesses. But in the case of a Karov, what are they going to say? He was her brother, but he's not her brother anymore. What are they going to say? So the Karov, Michael Amemar, everybody knows that a Karov is possible, and they know that they can't make him kosher by waving something at him. And therefore, Karov Kule Alma, Yade de Karovu. I can't believe this. I have Ari joining up with Barnea? How could such a thing have happened? It was an accident. An accident. Tell me it was an accident.
L'chaim, Rebbe.
L'chaim, l'chaim. Okay, so that's Rebbe Akiva. So what is Ben Nanas hold? I'm Rebbe Zera. Amar Rabba Bar She'ilta, Amar Rav Amnuna Saba, Amar Rav Ada Bar Ava. So I understand what you just explained to me in terms of Rabbi Akiva. So let me ask you something. I mean, we know that we were taught that if you have a get kereach, then actually we're going to be medayik in this later on. Let's say you got 7 ksharim, right? And you only have 6 edim, or 6 ksharim and 5 edim, or 5 edim and 4. I mean, 5 ksharim and 4 edim, or 4 ksharim and 3 edim. That's it. Less than that, we don't have a machlokas between Benanas and Rabbi Akiva. In other words, we need to have at least 3 folds that were signed correctly. The machlokas of Benanas and Rabbi Akiva is only on an extra kesha. Furthermore, if you've got 3 ksharim and only 2 kosher edim, then even Benanas agrees that you need to use a person who would be kosher for all testimony other than this one, meaning you can only use a korov. Now, this is really, whew, what the heck is going on over here? I mean, so that means that the sheet of Benanas is a lot more complicated than we thought. It's not that he disagrees with this fundamental aspect of Rabbi Akiva. There is a difference between a korov and other people, but it's only on the 3rd signature. On anything beyond that, you could use anything, even if he is totally possible, according to Benanas. So I don't get it. Omele Rabbi Zeila Rabba Bar Shilta, could you explain this shita to me? Because, I mean, how did a korov get involved here on the 3rd one? The din of a get mikushar, part of the takon of a get mikushar, is that it needs to have a minimum of 3 witnesses. Now, if it needs a minimum of 3 witnesses, then those should be the same status as the 2 witnesses that need to be on a normal get, right? So I don't get it. If one of 2 witnesses is a korov, then the get is completely personal. So why in the case of a get mikushar, if one of the 3 witnesses is a korov, why isn't the get possible? Mirte, kol shlosha b'mekushar, 3 witnesses vis-a-vis the get mekushar are the equivalent of 2 witnesses vis-a-vis the standard get. A standard get, as opposed to a get mekushar, be it hereby known, it is called a get pashut. Pashut means just a straightforward, simple get without all of the fancy bends, folds, and signatures on it. So the get mekushar versus the get pashut. So if a standard get, a get pashut, requires 2, and a get mekushar requires 3, then in the same way that in a get pashut, you can't have a relative sign on a get. That's insane. So then the get's puzzle, because you only have 1 kosher witness. So then how come over here, if you need 3 getim, how can everybody agree that the 3rd one can be a korov? So Rabbi Bar Shilta said, you know, this drove me crazy also. And this drove me nuts. Afle didi kasha. I never understood that. I went and asked Rav Amnuna. Rav Amnuna didn't know either. Rav Amnuna went and he asked Rav Ada Bar Ava. Like, what's the logic over here? So Rav Ada Bar Ava said to Rav Amnuna, look, forget about the 3 on a get mekusha. Okay, the get mekusha, remember, is a trick. It's not a real requirement for the kashas of the get. It's this cool down get. Okay. So when we appointed the dinim of the get mekushar, it's entirely a derabbanan fiction. The rabbanan were not marketed in terms of a korov because we didn't have the cheshashot that Rabbi Akiva expressed in the other cases, which we spoke about, where you may come to the wrong conclusion, thinking that a mafia guy did tshuva, or thinking that an eved was freed, and so on. Tanya Namihachi, and we see, if we're medayik in that braita that we had, we can see that this is true. Because it says in the braita like this, the get keriach, that had seven folds and six witnesses, six folds and five witnesses, five folds and four witnesses, four folds and three witnesses. Only to this point do we have a machlokes ben Nanas Rabbi Akiva. So in that event, in all of those cases, if you would have said, okay, let's go get an Eved, let the Eved or a mafia guy, let him sign on the fold that doesn't have, what would be the din? Ben Nanas would say, up to this point of three, Ben Nanas would say the Vlad is kosher if she went ahead and got married. So it was a kosher get, and therefore the child is not a monster. Whereas Rabbi Akiva would say, no, you don't have Aden if you used an Eved, and therefore the Vlad is a monster. But if you only had three folds and two Aden, everybody agrees you must use a Korah. Actually, not everybody agrees to this, because there's a whole different approach to what Rabbi Zera just said by Rabbi Bar Shilta, who was quoting Rabbi Amnuna. Rabbi Yosef says, actually, everybody agrees that you need a kosher witness, not a korov, and that both Rabbi Akiva and Ben Nanas hold, you can't even use a korov as the third witness. Forget about the question of on the other cases of four, five, and six. But wait a minute. What is this? The bride that says Beferish, you can sign as a korov. Omer of Papa, well, that's a mistake in the bride. To me, you should have read that bride as you need an Adam kosher. So why is this? Omer of Yochanan, Lohul Shubo ala Eid Echad Karov Bilva. Let me explain something to you. The idea over here is that you should still be able to be machshir this get in the event that the husband attacks the validity of the get in court. Remember that this was always of fundamental importance to us, even in a case where you have Eidei Mesira. And we need to be able to be mekayem the get. Now, the reason that we need to have two kosher witnesses is because you can maximum use one Eid Echad Korov Bilvad, not two. Because if you come to do a kiyum on this get, nima asi l'kiyume betray krovim v'chad kasher. Let's assume that the husband takes this to court, right? And so now she has to be able to be mekayim the get if she can't actually produce Eidei Mesira. So then that means she's going to need to have witnesses that can identify the signatures of three of the signatories, because this is a get mekusha and requires three signatories. Now, suppose you've got whatever, seven of these folds, seven of these witnesses. Okay. So now she has the capability of identifying three signatures out of the seven. That's all that she found. It's not so easy to find people who are able to authenticate signatures. So she finds people. And they come to Beis Din and they say, we recognize these three signatures. Now, that way, if there's three signatures, then we know that two of them were definitely Eidim Kesherim, because you're only allowed to have the maximum of one Eid Korov. That's the point. And therefore, at least you will always have a get that is kosher midiraisa that we're relying on for this woman's divorce in the event that she was mekayim the get in Beis Din. So if we only allow one korov, so then even if the korov is the one who the witnesses recognized, they didn't know he was a korov, at least there'll be the diraisa. And we said that the chachamim weren't makbid on the get mekushar, that we should actually need three witnesses that are kosher. Omer Ravashi, if you take a look at the Braisa, this is obvious. How come the Braisa always goes down by one, right? I mean, why does it say sevenfold, six witnesses, six folds, five witnesses, four? I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, it could be, if all you want to say is that if you've got three, then you can't go below three, then say so. I mean, why don't you talk about a case, seven folds and four witnesses? Well, we don't do that. We always go out of our way to go down by one witness to the fold. Never say that there were two witnesses that were missing. Why not? Because that would mean that even a korah can only be used once. And the logic for that is that that way, even if it just so happens that out of all the witnesses, the only ones that were recognized by their signatures were three, which included one relative, we know that we'll always have a maximum of one that was possible. We'll always have two that are kosher. Omer Abaye is another thing that you can actually figure out from this, because you see from here that wherever it is that the korov will sign is fine. He can sign on the first fold. He can sign on the last fold. He can sign on any fold that he wants in between. Why? Because, look, the Mishnah didn't say that there was a specific place where he's got to sign. And since that's true, says Abaye, I want to point out another thing. That shows us that when we're going to identify buffalo and Ari, you are not paying attention. If we want to identify a signature, so then what would that mean? That we need to identify three particular signatures? No. It proves that you can select at random any three signatures. You do not need to have signatures that are consecutive. Because Isaac, that would be in a Ritzufim, let's say that you would actually always need to authenticate three consecutive signatures, right? So then why would we have said that you can only have one korev? All we need to do is make sure that every set of signatures would only include one korev. So we could say, you could have a korov as the first signature. You could have a korov as the last signature. You could have a korov as the middle signature. But that way we would know that you never end up with two possible signatures, because you can only be Mekayim three signatures in a row. So obviously it's not true that you can only be Mekayim three signatures in a row. You can be Mekayim signatures at random, because otherwise lichra beit tuva. And in fact, when we would have a get kereach that would come to Reb Ami and they had run out of witnesses, he would say, look, what are we waiting for here? I ain't got time for this. Go out to the shuk and grab an eved. Let him sign. So in other words, Yibedavka was being machshered Aliba the Ben Nandaz. Doc, you better be ready for the big moment here. Hadran Alach Hazorek. you're muted. You're muted. I'll try that again. Hadran Alach Hazorek.
Beli Neder. Bounced on the Helike Perek.
Look at the Rebbe eating his heart out over there to this Litvish Yiddish, I'm telling you. It's killing him. So, tomorrow we'll see what happens if a guy writes a proper get, but he tells the wife as he's delivering the get, you can marry anybody you want except Mr. So-and-so. You can't get him. Then what's the din? That leaves you at the edges of your seat tomorrow. Looks like poor Ari's going to have to miss school tomorrow. How do you like that? Nobody could miss this Mishnah. See you then, Bezrat Hashem. Shavua Tov. Hinei El Yeshua Si. Eftach V'lo Yefchot.